Success in life can be very elusive, making it seem almost impossible to obtain at times. We may come right to the brink of the realization of success, but never seem to be able to make that final leap. In order to be successful, all the right pieces must be in place and functioning to their fullest capacity. The missing piece may be a matter of timing, the further development of a certain skill, the addition of an outside resource, or even being in the right place at the right time. In sports, it could be adding the skill talents of just one other athlete in order to spark the team towards a championship. The ability to find and to recognize and incorporate that missing link can be the determining factor between success and failure. But this may be the most difficult step towards the reality of success, since it just may require us to share the results with someone else. It is also difficult since it demands a recognition that we just may not have all the skills, the talent, or ability to do it ourselves. Pride and close-mindedness can step in and destroy any hope of success. Now, in many ways, the early church at first lived under the handicap of having a missing link in its life. The church in Jerusalem, the church of the apostles, was indeed growing as a heretic sect within the established Jewish religion. To some, it may have seemed to be successful. The opinion was definitely held by the Jewish authorities, who found it to be a threat to the establishment. So they were heretics. That is exactly why they began to persecute those who claimed to be followers of this resurrected Christ. Although all this may have been true, was this the success for which Jesus had commissioned them? After all, wasn't the mission to go far beyond the boundary of Jerusalem? Far beyond the ethnic restrictions of the Jews? Didn't Jesus lay down the formula for success when he stated to them the Great Commission? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. According to this, the early church fell far short of success, for they hadn't even attempted to go beyond the confines of their Jewish territory, their own traditions, and even their own religious institutions. After all, they were still teaching in the temple, and they were teaching in the synagogues among fellow Jews. In fact, they were not equipped to do elsewise. They did not have the education to talk with those who were educated in the outside world, nor did they have the understanding of their customs and religions and language and way of life. They would have been at a total loss if placed in a Greek or Roman city or town or environment which may have no synagogues. There seemed to be no way that they could have been ultimately successful as they were. They had a missing link which had to be filled, but which, at the time, they didn't realize they needed. Maybe they didn't realize it, but God surely knew otherwise. The revelation of the good news of Jesus would most likely have been destined at best to some kind of reform movement within Judaism, if God had not chosen the missing link to fulfill the mission of Christ. That missing link would be the most unlikely person in the world, for he had chosen a man by the name of Saul, an agent of the Jewish authority who was instrumental in persecuting the early followers of the way, the followers of the resurrected Christ. He was one of the most unlikely of persons, but it appears that he was born to be that missing link and thus became, in God's sight, the most likely person. Saul was born into a Hebrew family, living in Tarsus, a Roman-occupied city with strong Greek influences. It was a city of learning and culture. Although he lived within the city of heavy Roman and Greek influences and would have been well acquainted and educated in those cultures, he was also a dedicated scholar of the Jewish law, to the point of becoming a Pharisee. Saul was not only a faithful Jew, but also a man with an understanding of the international community. This was so important for the fulfillment of the Great Commission, because Saul had the background of Judaism and the understanding and the communicative skills to reach out to the world outside the small, limited world of the early church. Saul was everything the apostles were not, and was the perfect candidate for being the missing link in the life of that beginning Christian movement. But how would this person who was a zealot of the traditional Jewish law and tradition, ever become that needed missing link to proclaim the good news of the resurrected Christ? Like so often in the biblical records and within the history, God seemed to be able to utilize the most unlikely individuals to be his messengers. And he finds ways to do this. In the case of Saul, you know the story. Jesus is said to have confronted him while on a journey to Damascus. And this journey was to carry forth further persecutions. Now, in that blinding moment in his journey, and he became a follower of the resurrected Christ. And thereupon, he became known as Paul, and was that missing link within the early church, which would give it the ultimate success for which it was commissioned. Paul became that missionary who would establish Christianity within the very heartland of the Roman Empire, among the ancient peoples and cultures there. He was a natural. For the zeal he had as a Pharisee was now transformed and transferred into the unrelenting zeal to proclaim the gospel. He understood the people. He understood their traditions and religion and could engage in debating with those of other philosophical convictions than his. He never took a back seat to any of them. Never. Our lesson this morning attests to this. He was in Athens, a seat of higher learning whose populations, their sport seemed to be engaging in philosophical debates. They loved it. It was the center of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophies. These were two philosophies which ran counter to each other. The Epicureans believed in the seeking of pleasure or a pain-free life, since at death there was no longer any kind of existence. The Stoic believed all of life was a part of God, and therefore all of life must be endured, good and also what may be considered to be bad. For the Stoic, death brought the barred life back to its origin. Within this great ancient city, there were said to be more gods worshiped than people themselves. They even had altars to unknown gods. And these altars were established centuries before, when a mysterious plague struck, and their many gods had no answers to these plagues. Therefore, they set up altars of sacrifice to the unknown gods who they hoped would remove the plague, which was devastating them. So not only did they have the altars to their gods, but to unknown gods. Now, the advantage that Paul had was that he had the understanding of their philosophical pursuits and their religious practices. He could take certain underlying principles of the origin of life as being God and then dispute their following of man-made idols or gods. The Greeks could comprehend that underlying origin of life as being in the hands of a creator. They understood that. And this creator was beyond their total comprehension. But yet, within their life experiences, they knew that. Therefore, they could understand it when he said, "From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of your poets have said." He then confounded them. Confronted them and with the incarnation and the raising of Jesus from the dead. Even with that, he was able to convince some of the staunchest of the debaters in Athens. He was that missing link of God. Paul was, of course, that link, which gave success to the early church. God had prepared him and then redirected his zeal to be that force which changed the early circle of believers from their limited scope of endeavors to a worldwide proclamation. This can be the problem and the situation within our church today. We may just be missing that link, which infuses new life, new zeal, and new mission to what has become perhaps its limited vision. It just may take that special someone who has been instilled with God's love and the understanding of people's needs and desires to lead the way. Maybe it will take another reformation. That reformation which fills that missing link. That zeal. The need is as great today as it was 2,000 years ago in our church. It is as great. The question is, who is going to be that missing link? Is God calling you? As he called Paul? I believe he's calling each of us. Each of us. To be that missing link. To show that zeal. That love. That compassion. To reach out and touch the lives of others. No matter who they may be. It's our call. It's our calling to be that missing link. As it was Paul's calling to be that missing link in the early church. Amen.